I'd like to call this council and committee meeting to order. Madam Clerk, the roll call.
Your Worship, all members of council are present.
There is no addendum, nor am I going to make any announcements this evening. Are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? Councillor Butler.
Yes, IS-27-2016, several of those awards handed out to our clients.
Are there any other disclosures? Councillor Lubritz.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Under new business, Section 8.3, new business, the memo for the Compson property on Gorham Road. I'd like to declare a conflict. His development there might affect the property values of the company that I work for, Real Electric.
That's 8.3A.
Yes.
Are there any others? There being no further, that's public notices is next. There are no public notices this evening, but there are two public meetings under the Planning Act. And the way this will proceed is that I will ask the staff to provide some background information with respect to each public meeting. And once the staff is completed, then anyone who wishes to speak on behalf of the proponent may do so, may address council. And then following that, I'll ask anyone if they have any questions or comments with respect to the information provided by the municipality. So we'll start then with the property rezoning public meeting with respect to 225 Gilmore Road. And Mr. Kernahan, would you like to provide us with some background information?
Application was received from Karen Minhas for a zoning amendment for the property located at 225 Gilmore Road. The purpose of this application is to permit the conversion of an existing restaurant plus apartment into a 7-unit apartment building. A public meeting was held and report PDS 48-2016 was received by council at their meeting on June 13th, 2016. Since that time, the applicant has requested an amendment to their application to permit reduced minimum unit sizes that was asked for subsequent to the public meeting. So the purpose of this report, or the purpose of this public meeting, is to support the August 8th, 2016 information report. Notification of this public meeting was provided in accordance with the requirements of the Planning Act by placing notice in the July 14th, 2016 edition of the Fort Erie Times. In addition, residents living within 120 meters of the subject property were mailed notice of the public meeting. This is an aerial photograph of the subject property as well as the surrounding area. The subject lands are located in a South End neighborhood. Land uses surrounding the subject property include residential to the south and east, Gilmore Road and residential to the north, a convenience store and residential to the west. The official plan designates the subject site as urban residential, and the proposed 7-unit apartment is a permitted use. The slide demonstrates that there are no natural heritage features on or in the vicinity of the subject site, as identified in the official plan. The property is currently zoned R2 zone. The previous use as a restaurant and the single-unit apartment were non-conforming to the bylaw. The applicant is proposing to rezone the subject lands to a site-specific residential multiple two zone. These proposed provisions would allow the existing building to be converted from a bar and accessory apartment and allow for up to 7 apartment units. The applicant is requesting a number of site-specific amendments from the zoning regulations to recognize existing deficient situations. These situations will not be changed through this application. They include front and side yard setbacks for the building and steps, and separation between the driving lane and parking areas from the adjacent residential use. The applicant is also requesting site-specific relief from the minimum unit size to 20 square meters or 220 square feet. The proposed apartments range in size from 220 square feet to a maximum of 390 square feet. The applicant is also seeking relief from the minimum landscaped open space requirement of the zoning regulations. However, the area of the landscaped open space and the percentage it occupies will be larger and less deficient through this application. This is the site plan for the subject property. It shows the existing two-story building that will remain unchanged on the exterior. The entrance and parking area are also shown on these and will remain largely unchanged. The one exception is that a fenced landscape area will be added in the southeast corner of the site to provide additional amenity area for the residents of the apartment dwellings. This slide shows the first floor plan for the proposed apartment dwellings. There are six additional apartment dwellings proposed that will range in size, as I mentioned, from 220 to approximately 400 square feet. Each apartment will have a separate kitchen area, bathroom, and living quarters. There's an existing bathroom and common area proposed that will be removed. The view of the existing building looking southeast from Gilmore Road. This is a view of the parking area looking southeast. The slide shows the timeline leading up to today's public meeting. Pre-consultation was undertaken in March of this year. A complete application was, or notice of complete application was issued to the applicant on March 23rd, 2016. There was a neighborhood meeting held on May 12th, 2016. The first public meeting on the application was held on June 13th, 2016. And this slide shows the timeline moving forward to a final decision on the application. It's expected that comments will be received throughout August, and a recommendation report will be brought forward to Council at the September 6th Council and Committee meeting. A bylaw will follow the following Council meeting. Notice of decision and the appeal period will follow that. That concludes my public meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Any members of Council? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to Mr. Kernahan. I was just wondering, what is the reason why the individuals want to decrease the square footage per apartment?
My understanding is that a number of these apartments are partially built and were done so without a permit. And the applicant has indicated to us that they wish to proceed according to the plan that they'd started out doing.
Just out of curiosity, are there any other apartment dwellings in the municipality of Ford Erie that has 220 square feet of living accommodations? Because I find that ridiculously low.
I am not aware of any others in the municipality that are of that size. That doesn't mean that there aren't any, but I certainly in my time here haven't entertained any applications for apartment units that are that deficient to the zoning regulations.
I may, Your Worship.
Yes, you may.
This new requirement to have between 220 and 440 square feet apartment dwellings, they're still going to have fully equipped kitchens and fully equipped washrooms with a shower and a bath?
The plan that we have before us shows each kitchen with a unit which is a combination of a stove, fridge, and refrigerator, and each bathroom is fully equipped.
Report tonight is just for information purposes, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any other councillors? Thank you very much, Mr. Kernahan. Does the proponent then wish to address council or someone on her behalf? Okay, then I will ask, Ms. Minas, did you want to address council? Thank you. Is there anyone then in the audience who wishes to speak to council with respect to the proposed rezoning? We'll start with lady with the blonde hair. Miss, that is Mrs. Hi, come forward, Mrs. No, you come forward. You have to come forward so we can get this.
Everyone,
we need your name and address for the record.
My name is Anna Nunziata. I have property in the vicinity of Ms. Minha's proposal.
Your address for the record is?
It's 1A Phyllis. My address is 285 Niagara Boulevard.
Thank you.
My only concern is it going to be fully one-bedroom apartments with living accommodation, full bath, full kitchen, or is it going to be a rooming house? That's my only question.
There is attached to the report a schedule which shows the proposed layout of these units. And I guess what they would be referred to generously would be bachelor pads. They don't appear to have separate bedrooms. At least that's not how it appears to me on the schedule. But that is, and that's on our website, so you could take a look at that and satisfy yourself.
That would be my only concern. I don't have no objection to apartments being built in that area. I think we need one-bedroom apartments with maybe couples living there. But as far as rooming houses are concerned, I have objection to that.
These are not designed to be rooming units. These are to be apartments.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Poole, you wanted to address council? Please come forward. Mr. Kernahan, I wonder if it's possible for you to put the schedule that shows the floor plan up on... Thank you. Mr. Poole, please proceed. Your address?
Well, my name, address, I have 3811 Webstock Road. I was just having a look on the website today. I caught my card on this. I drove down and have a look at it. And I know what 220 square feet is. That's pathetic. My aunt's 100 years old and she lives in twice that size. She lives in an apartment. And realistic, this is not an apartment. 220 square feet, you cannot say it's an apartment. That's a rooming house or what you want to call it. Like, I don't much care what's going on. I would care what's going on in this town. This is, you guys got to look at this. This is, you can make two apartments, three apartments, four apartments. This is getting carried away. I don't care if they are wearing a head with all the building permit. That's knowing this town, that's everybody does. But I think it's wrong that you guys should even consider this. This is no way. Like I said, I don't know. I know it. That's like living in a little cage, and that's ridiculous. If it's going to be a flop house or whatever it is, rental, whatever it is, call it what it is. It's not an apartment.
Yes. Councilor Butler?
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you, too. And I'm sorry, I didn't catch your last name.
No, it's Poole.
Mr. Poole, yes. Yeah. Can you just tell me... Can you describe the apartment that your mother lives in? At
well, it's actually my aunt.
Your aunt.
Well, she lives in 900 square feet. So, but my brother, my sister's husband's mother lived in the same place as on First Avenue in Welland, and she was in roughly, I would say, 500 square feet. But that was a single bedroom with a little kitchenette in it and a nice, a fairly big bathroom because there, you know, there have to be people with a wheelchair in that. So, this has got to be very small. I mean, it's not accessible for anybody with a wheelchair or a handicap. Let's look at this realistically. We could cut this down. It could be a nice place, but they're way too small. You have to get less units in, and that's my suggestion.
Any other questions of Mr. Poole? Did you have any further comments?
No, that's it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to address council with respect to this matter? Yes, please come forward, Mr. Ivanovich, and provide us with your full name and address.
It's Susan Jovanovic. The address is 479 Niagara Boulevard, postal code L2A. Oh, thanks. Did you get that? Okay. Okay.
Please proceed.
Okay, thank you again. Seems like deja vu. You might not want to consider doing any more projects like this, the renovations of a property into multiple apartment units, because history shows they haven't done well in terms of curb appeal or maintaining local property values. We really need more professionally managed and maintained high-density residential properties like 1 Albany and 828 Concession. Without prejudice to the owner of this particular property, I do hope they do it right. The responsibility, it seems, of elected officials is to serve the needs of the citizens and to hear their voice. I cannot think of any reason why any council, past, present, or future, shouldn't act diligently in vetting any owner presenting such a proposition, ensuring that they have a proven history of maintaining their properties. That's all.
Thank you. Are there any members of council have any questions? Councillor Passero.
Thank you. Through your worship to Mr. Vanovic, thank you for being with us tonight. Are you in favor or against the current zoning provisions being asked for by the applicant?
Against.
Against. And for what reason?
I think perhaps the town's resources might be better used in attracting developers who would put up properties like 1 Albany and 828 Concession instead of spending time on little peapot projects like this.
Through your worship.
Sure.
But on this property, we don't have that option to do something the size of 1 Albany or 828 Concession like a Bridges or a Lakeview.
Yes.
So what would you suggest be done with this property from a residential standpoint? Because that's the current application before us.
That we do what we can to ensure that it doesn't become another derelict property.
Through your worship.
Sure, sure.
And I understand that, and we do have a property standard system and we do have bylaw, but I think it prejudices a current or future owner if we attach whether or not we approve or not approve zoning provisions based on who the current owner may be. You know, as councillors, we need to look at what is the best zoning use for a property, not necessarily by who owns it. You could have a stellar owner in one property who sells it in a year, and it now turns into a derelict property. So we can't use that to prejudice our judgment. So just based on the zoning, you're against this application?
Against.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other councillors? Thank you very much, Mr. Jovanovic. Is there anyone else who wishes to address council with respect to this application? There being none, I'll declare this public meeting closed, and there is a report on our agenda that we'll be deliberating later on. That takes us to the second public meeting, and that relates to a draft plan of condominium, and I understand that this isn't actually a completed application yet. Is that correct, Mr. Kernahan?
Mr. Mayor, it is technically a complete application for an amendment to the draft plan of condominium. However, based on some concerns that were identified subsequent to us advertising this public meeting, the application is being considered premature. So staff's recommendation is that it be held in abeyance until such time as those drainage issues drainage and grading issues are resolved and the final plan for the plan of condominium is brought forward, because in all likelihood the resolution to the issues that have been identified will result in a further change to the plan compared to what's before you this evening. So
do you anticipate a further public meeting?
I do, yes.
Would have preferred one, but if you want to proceed this evening, so let's proceed and we'll see where we are.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'll do my best to be brief and go over only the facts which are necessary.
No, be as thorough as you wish.
An application was received for an amendment to a draft plan of condominium for the Deerwood Lane condominium property, which is located on the south side of Dominion Road, east of Prospect Point Road North, with the municipal address 3573 Dominion Road. Deerwood Lane condominium currently has draft plan approval for 3 blocks of 4 condominium townhouse units and 1 block of 6 condominium townhouse units. The purpose of the application that was received was to amend the draft plan of condominium and change the plan to include 3 blocks of 4 condominium units and 2 blocks of 3 condominium units. As I mentioned, subsequent to advertising this public meeting, staff became aware of certain issues with area residents regarding on-site drainage and grading, and it was determined that the solution of these would likely result in a change to the draft plan of condominium. A future public meeting will likely be held to receive input on the final draft plan of condominium, but staff are proceeding with this public meeting notwithstanding the requirements for a public meeting, or notwithstanding this, to provide residents with an opportunity to comment on the plan as submitted. Notification of this public meeting was provided in accordance with the requirements of the Planning Act, placing an ad in the July 14th edition of the Times. In addition, property owners within 120 meters were mailed notice of the public meeting. Scenario photograph of the subject property. The lands are located in the Ridgeway Thunder Bay neighborhood near the corner of Dominion Road and Prospect Point Road North. Surrounding land uses consist of the following: a dwelling containing three dwelling units to the north, as well as commercial uses located on the north side of Dominion Road. South is a town-owned block which is used for access to the adjacent wetland and drain, and vacant land, as well as vacant land planned for a future townhouse development. To the east is the Six Mile Creek provincially significant wetland complex and the Man Drain. To the west is 2 four-unit townhouse dwellings, which were part of phase one of this development, as well as Prospect Point Road North and single detached dwellings. This slide shows the natural heritage features on in the vicinity of the subject property as identified in the official plan. There's a provincially significant wetland and locally significant natural area to the east of the site. The applicant previously completed an environmental impact study as part of their original application, which determined there would be no adverse impacts on these features. Ridgeway Thunder Bay secondary plan designates the property as medium density residential. The townhouse dwellings at the proposed density are permitted by the secondary plan. Subject lands are currently zoned site-specific residential multiple 1, RM1-452 zone. The proposed condominium plan meets all of the relevant zoning regulations. This is the approved draft plan of condominium. It shows three blocks of 4 condominium townhouse units and one block of 6 condominium townhouse units. Slide shows the proposed draft plan of condominium, which includes 3 blocks of 4 condominium townhouse units and 2 blocks of 3 condominium townhouse units. This is the view of the subject lands looking south from Dominion Road. That's the proposed private road which runs through the center of the development. The view of the subject lands looking southeast from Dominion Road. The view of the subject property looking northeast from the southern portion of the site. That concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kernahan. Do any members of council have any questions of Mr. Kernahan? Thank you. Is there anyone here who wishes to speak to council on behalf of the proponent? Going to call it in? If there is no one here then that wishes to speak on behalf of the proponent, I'll ask if there's anyone in the audience who wishes to address council with respect to the matter. Start with Mr. Kotz, and then I'll go to Mr. Prentice, yes, and then we'll go to Mr. Poole. I'm sorry. Kotz?
Your Worship and Council, my name is Charles Kautz, K-A-U-T-Z. I live at 3247 Thunder Bay Road. Tonight I'm making a brief presentation, some comments and notes on behalf of the Lindsay family, Corrine Lindsay. She lives in lot number 2 at 354 Prospect Point Road in the first phase. She can't be here tonight. She's 84 years old, suffering from cancer, and this is adding more stress to her because of the problems that she anticipates with drainage, elevations, future elevations, and other things that have her so concerned. That she sent me. I would recommend that we just put a moratorium on any new building until a new site plan is agreed upon with the stormwater management plan. I would like to see a copy of the hydraulic study and a copy of the new stormwater management plan. And I believe these things would also be redlined on the public notice. So I was wondering if you can confirm that for me. The elevation concerns are just, he hasn't even seen the new stuff, but just looking at the road, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out something's wrong there. We just want to make sure that no more planning mistakes are made or things like this happen, and all you have to do is look south 300 yards at Hibbard Street, and there's another example of something like this. So if you have any questions or comments, I'd be happy to answer them.
I don't, Mr. Kotz, but maybe Mr. Kernahan can just confirm what the status of this application is. I know that there are drainage issues to be dealt with. Maybe, Mr. Kernahan, you could just reaffirm that. There's nothing proceeding for the time being until those drainage and elevation issues are dealt with. Is that correct?
That's correct. Just to be clear, staff are awaiting some revised engineering drawings that will demonstrate how grading and drainage will be dealt with on the site. And this application will not proceed any further until staff are satisfied with those plans.
Have those, and there'll be a further public meeting.
That's correct.
That help, Mr. Kotz?
Thank you for that information. If there's any other questions, I would also like to note that it appears that they're filling in the wetlands, the corner that he has on his property. So I'm not sure if this new situation is reflected in the existing EIS or any other studies that have been done. But the Lindsay family is very interested in this and appreciates your cooperation.
Yeah, thank it you. Does appear to me, though, that the fill is going in where the units will be, not in the area that was designated in those maps as wetlands. But you've made that comment, and I would ask our staff to make sure that that's correct.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Then we'll go to Mr. Prentice. Mr. Prentice, could we have your full name and address for the record, please?
I'm not a public speaker, so you're going to have to bear with me.
you'll do fine, I'm sure.
My name is Jim Prentice, and I live at 31 Ridge Road South, Ridgeway. We own the apartment at the complex at 3583 Dominion Road, which is right on the corner of Dominion Road, Prospect Point. And I put a little slide presentation together because I object to this because I'm not sure the due process has been followed for approving phase two to begin with. But anyways, my big objection, my wife's, is that the elevation of a road next to us, putting us into a bowl, an unsightly thing for us and, I believe, for the town. And we feel it's going to depreciate our apartment complex. And this is when we bought this apartment complex. If you remember, it used to be the old man EV shop. And we added onto it. We spent considerable amount of money to develop this. And this was when we bought it about approximately 12 years ago. This is what it looks like now. Here we have this unsightly road, which is encroaching onto our land. It's approximately 3 feet higher than our elevation. This road and the back, the south side of our apartment complex is in a bowl, put into a bowl situation. Here you can see better the picture of this roadway, and this is giving way already, and it's also on our property. That metal stake in the front is a property line and lines up with the white edge of that post sticking up. And the bank is on our land, and also they've dug out the grass to the right of the road without our permission. Then they put this illegal drain on our property without our approval. These are on the plans that were approved in 2014. I believe it's 2014. On this here, the green part is our property. That green hatched area is the apartment complex. And you can see they've got this area, the drain, the culvert, or it's a catch basin actually is the terminology, is right in the bottom corner of the green on our property. And then they had a swale on our property, which takes up a good portion of ours. This was on the plans that were approved by the town. September 30th, 14. The curb that they put in is already cracking. That's the crack in the curb. This is the back of the house when we were in construction. You can see the grade comes down. Natural grade all the way through. This is phase two below the picture. This is looking at it now with this ungodly road there. The back of our property. Going back to this, if you look at the top, the numbers at the top, where it says Unit 1 and Unit 2, that's Phase 1. Those are the houses along Prospect Point. If you look at, this is the approved version of September of 14. The elevations, you can see them, and don't worry about the first numbers, but the last numbers after the decimal, 583, and they go down. 424 and then 406. So that, per the plans, is supposed to evenly flow past the phase one houses. This is a natural grade of what goes in the, that would be phase one that you're looking at. And that's the natural grade. And this is another picture looking, I'm standing where the phase two or phase one unit one is, looking at our backyard, and you can see the grade comes through and that matches up with the plans that have been approved. This is what we have on phase one. I'm guessing at maybe 18 inches higher. I believe the reason, I'm told on the first unit they started on the south, they hit rock, so they raise these houses up, or these condos here, without, I believe, telling anybody in the town. When this came up, the town was not aware of this situation. There again, a side picture of it. This is our driveway, apartments on the left side, and the first unit of the condos on the right. These units, per the approved drawing, should be even, and you can see how they've been raised up. That's from Prospect Point Road. This is from the new road that they put in, so you can see the elevation changes. And on the approved drawings, they should be the same as on the left side, same elevation. Then I just put these houses in here to show you what it started out. This is just for what it started out with. And some just That's it.
Good old days.
Yeah, good old days, yeah.
Thank you very much, Mr. Francis.
I object, and I would like the town to look into this situation. In my opinion, you've got an out-of-town developer who comes in, and he has no regard for anybody in the neighborhood. He has no regard for the town of Fort Erie. He has no regard for the council. He has no regard for the Fort Erie staff. So I think this needs a good, hard look at.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Prentice. Before you move, do any members of council have any questions? Thank you very much. Now, does our clerk have a copy of your presentation?
I can give a copy. Well, yeah, it's on the laptop here. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Mr. Prentice.
Thank you.
Mr. Poole, would you like to come forward? Still living at the same address?
Yeah, I didn't move yet. My wife won't let me. Well, actually, she wants to move, but I won't.
I saw you. She was out working in your yard the other day, so.
Stay home, mind your business. That's what she told me tonight. This is my business. I don't know if any of you guys drove down this site and have a look, but I've been keeping an eye on it for a while now and understand what he's talking about. And you guys know I'm concerned what's happening next door to me. Basically, the same is going to happen to me. When they start next door, they're going to start building, realize there's problems down the road. Now, I phoned the town up, it's got to be 2-3 months ago, and I asked the question, what are you allowed to use for a foundation for a road? And they said, what do you mean? I said, what kind of material you got to use? He says, well, you got to use special clean stones, stone, blah, 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 whatever you got to use. I said, well, how come they're not using this property? Oh, it's a private road. They can do whatever they want. I said, okay, I understand, because it's going to come in, the town's not going to clean the road. So, okay, they go ahead. And then he was saying, it's going to crack that road. It's going to fall apart, but that's part of their property. You can't tell somebody on how to put their driveway on their own property. I understand that. But looking the height of it, all you councilmen should drive down East Drive through. I just did before I came here. It's pretty hard to believe. Like, let's not make the same mistake we made across the street. We have to stop this now. If they have to take the road and start over again, you have to start over again. It's like my neighbor across the street. She had somebody come in, started a cement driveway on the outside. Guess what? She didn't like it. It's all crooked. She asked, what do you think, Jim? I says, well, the guy forgot to bring a string. It was all crooked. They come out and they took it out. It's the same thing here. If it's not right, just don't go forward and let it go on, because there's a mistake here made. Anybody can see that. Like he's saying, the houses, I didn't realize what the gentleman just spoke, said how the houses are supposed to be the same height and they're not. I don't know how this stuff happens in this town, but if they were supposed to be the right height, they should be. And I'll guarantee when they start next door to me, they will be the right height, because I've already got a transit over my brother and myself, because I'll be damned if this is going to happen next to me, because there's rules and regulations. The contractors have to follow in this town. And they're filling their pockets, and they're driving away, and they're saying, well, so what? Somebody will buy it, and they don't know the difference. This is a town that's been built on friggin' cinder block for how many years, and nobody cares. They cover it with siding, and I think it's time it ends. And that's the way I feel. I don't know what else I got to jot down here, but personally, I love those townhomes. Anybody knows me, those ones that got a double garage, a townhome like that, in the future, I'll probably move into one. I think what he's building is excellent. They'll sell quick. That's what people are looking for, double garage townhouse, a nice area. There's nothing wrong with it. All I'm saying, let's make sure it's right, because people are not getting flooded, and it's the same thing beside me. It's going to be right or not, it's going to be done at all. I answer any question you have anything for me.
Any members of council have any questions of Mr. Poole? Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Yes, why don't you come back right now, Mr. Prentice, if you've got something further you'd like to say, while we can still remember what you were telling us.
I wanted to give you a couple of numbers. Between Vision 7, which was approved in 2014, and Revision 9, which I'm not sure the approval date, but it was issued to the town in September the 14th of 15. They raised the houses 2 feet. Say the grade's going to be the same, so I haven't really sat down and worked out the numbers, but to me that means 2 foot of concrete sticking out. It's going to be unsightly, and it's raising up way above the other neighbors. And also between the units, the six units on the northwest side, they're approximately 1 meter, which is 3 foot 3 inches difference between the six unit and the four unit. And between, on the east side, between the units 22 and 23, which is one set of four, and one set of four on the south side, they're going to be 4 feet, 1.2 meters different, 4 feet. I mean, this, we built a foothill. There shouldn't be a foothill. And I think it's unprecedented in Fort Erie. I don't think we have any other complex that comes in and goes way up. At the top of that hill, you remember the slides, right beside us it's 3 feet higher, but the farthest point's 5 feet higher. The only reason is because they don't spend the money to take out the rock or redesign their condominiums.
Thank you very much, Mr. Prentice. Is there anyone else here who wishes to address council with respect to this matter? Well, Mr. Poole, pardon? Well, what is it? Yeah. Okay, so we've got that. I think we understand the problems. Okay, and then Mr. Kotz will let you chime in too. You need to come. You need to come forward if you're gonna. We understand that.
Okay.
She's a.
One of her main concerns is that high six-figure investment she has in her property and the ramifications of declining property values, and the
right.
possibilities of her.
She has concerns. Her backyard is where this.
Right, and even concerns like maybe her sump pump is going to run continuously, stuff like that. So you have to look at all these things. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to address council? And I'm going to declare this public meeting closed, bearing in mind that there's going to be some revisions to the application, and there will be a further public meeting. So allowed to make further comment in this particular case. There is a report as well with respect to this, which council will be looking at later. It's for information purposes. Okay. That takes us then to consent agenda items. Are there any items in the consent agenda that anyone would like removed? And could I have a motion to put the consent agenda? I'm sorry, Councillor Butler. You have a conflict with. Right. And that is in the agenda item. Yes. So we'll take out IS 27 and deal with that separately. Okay, can I have a motion then to move the consent agenda items with the exception of IS 27? Councillor Zanko, are there any questions or comments with respect to the reports that are in the consent agenda package? Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. I got a couple questions here. The report, the Provincial Growth Plan, report PDS 63-2016, on pages 3, 4, and 5, we'll start with page 3. It shows that the residential development and built-up areas, it says the current requirement for residential development, generally intensification in the built-up areas, is 40% throughout the region. I think Fort Erie was at, I think their expectations were 15%, but here it says that the 40% has been achieved in Fort Erie, and I guess my question is, have we looked at why that 40% has been achieved? And have we compared the reasons why it's been achieved to whether that's going to be sustainable? I'm just wondering, because I'm thinking that most of that 40% is coming out originally by the lake, and I'm just wondering if that type of intensification is going to continue in town.
Mr. Brady, and you could start perhaps by telling us what the intensification actually means.
Certainly. The region sets a residential intensification target, which means that it asks the town and the other municipalities to try within their built-up area, which is not new subdivisions, to have up to 15%, which is the target at the present time, of growth, so that residential houses in Fort Erie should be, the ones that are not in the subdivisions, should be 15% of them should be in the built-up area. Our built-up area in Fort Erie is intermixed with the greenfield areas for the subdivisions, and so we have been able to achieve a target of approximately 40% with the development that we've had to date. And to answer Councillor Lubert's question, the answer is yes, we believe that it is sustainable to move forward. The work in Ridgeway by the lake would not have contributed to this intensification target. The things that contribute to the intensification target are things like the apartments in the downtowns, the conversion of the schools, and the infill developments in the neighborhoods. So when you have an infill development within a neighborhood, that helps us move towards the intensification target. I will add that the region, in its work that I've been dealing with them recently, is suggesting that we should go to a much higher number, much beyond 40%, to something like 60%. And David Hayworth and I are in the process of reviewing that right now, and we'll be responding to the region about that kind of intensification, because we think that that's too much for the town of Fort Erie. But as of the present time, we have been able to have a 40%, and we think that we should be able to continue to do that in the future.
Councillor Lubert.
Yes, thank you very much. Then going to page 4, the plans of subdivision, and this is something maybe you can give us a little explanation on as well. It says that the growth plan encourages municipalities to use the authority under the Planning Act to deregister registered plans of subdivision older than 8 years. Can you give us an explanation of what it is they're looking at? Because the reason I'm asking the question is because over the years we've had plans of subdivision that have been coming forward for renewal. Some of them are 12, some are 18 years old, some are have been around a long time. Is that what they're discussing here, or is this something different?
Mr. Brady?
Through to Councillor Lubert. In that paragraph, there's two aspects outlined. One, it describes in the second sentence draft plans of subdivision, which include the lapsing dates and the policies the growth plan must be considered. And what they're saying in there is what we have been dealing with in the town of Fort Erie, and that is the ones that have been around for a while, we should be taking a really hard look at whether or not we should be granting extensions. And certainly this council has been quite due diligent in making those comments, and we've certainly provided those comments to developers to the extent of, this may well be your last extension if you don't move forward. So what the growth plan is actually talking about in terms of draft plans of subdivision is something that we've been doing and encourages us to continue to do so. It goes on and says the growth plan encourages municipalities to use the authority under the Plan Act to deregister registered plans of subdivision. This isn't something that we're doing as of yet. There have been old registered plans of subdivision that were deemed way before and deregistered way before I started here and even when before Reno had started here. Those are the ones in the outlining areas. But inside the urban area of Fort Erie, we've not deregistered, at least not to my knowledge, any registered plans of subdivision older than 8 years, if such plans do not meet the growth plan objectives. What that would mean is something like a plan of subdivision that has vacant lots in it with sewers down the road and the roads in place, and then we decide that because they're single-family subdivisions, that we're going to deregister them and we're going to ask the developer to convert them to townhouses. That's what that's asking for. That's not something that I'm willing to do quite yet, and I'm not sure if council wants to direct me to do so, we'll certainly take a look at it. But in my opinion, if the developers have put in the infrastructure and it's just taking a long time for them to actually put the buildings on the property, and certainly we have a couple of subdivisions in town that meet that definition. They're older than 8 years old, and there's one down in your ward, Councillor Luberts, that is has about 30 lots in it, and it's a nice cul-de-sac at the end, and has about five single-family homes in it. So this is suggesting that we should deregister that subdivision and say come back and look at for townhouses. I think that's a little strong, but nonetheless, that's what that means.
Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much. And then on, I think, page 5 here, natural heritage and system mapping. It goes on to say, it is unknown whether the province would use consultants or conservation authorities for field work. Town planning staff do not consider the accuracy of wetland features established throughout the aerial photography to be reliable. Provincial mapping of natural heritage features must be based on field work. And so when I'm reading this, I'm getting the impression that maybe some field work needs to be done and aerial photos aren't that accurate. But if we're looking at doing some of those things, my question is, I'm just wondering, is there something that the Environmental Advisory Committee could do when we're doing our field visits, just in the background to provide staff with some further information?
Mr. Brady?
Through the councilors, we always welcome the input from our Environmental Advisory Committee on detailed information about the natural environment, and we certainly always take that into consideration, and we continue to hope that they'll do so. But the province is announcing through their work in terms of the updating of the growth plan that they want to do some natural heritage systems mapping. And the last time that we got into this, we ended up with some wetlands in that weren't actually wetlands. So what we're encouraging the province to do, if they see fit to do this natural heritage system mapping, to actually do some groundwork associated with it rather than relying solely on air photos. Air photos is a good place to start, but it shouldn't be the place that you end.
Councilor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much. And that's why I asked the question, because in here it says the province does not have the staff to carry out necessary field work. So it sounds to me like they've recognized it's necessary, right? So if it's necessary and they don't have the staff, that's why I'm saying maybe we could give something to the Environmental Advisory Committee that, you know, some kind of criteria or something to look at while we're out doing our field work, and maybe we could do some field work for staff, our staff, not so much for the province, but for our staff. And I'm just wondering if that would be beneficial to staff, to help staff along.
Well, we've done that type of thing in the past. We've, in fact, our natural heritage inventory was completed, I guess, in consultation with the Burt Miller Nature Club. The concern here is that the province will do heritage mapping and perhaps not put enough emphasis on field work. That's the concern. Our staff is saying that it should be field work. The province should simply acknowledge that and get engaged in that, not necessarily shift the onus to all the municipalities, which is essentially what's happening here. We've had to engage the Conservation Authority and private owners in order to make changes to some of the provincially significant wetland mapping that was done on an aerial basis. So I don't know if that's driving at an answer to your question, but we think that it should be field work. We're concerned that the province may not take that step. But hence the recommendation.
Yes, well, I guess maybe can staff recommend to the province that we have an environmental advisory committee, that we could do some of the field work that they feel is necessary, but they don't have the staff to do it. I mean, this is, we get to comment on this growth plan, right? Is that right?
We do, and that's what this report is.
Yes. But we can provide, maybe we can provide the necessary field work.
Well, as long as we're compensated for it. But I'm not anxious to have the town of Fort Erie take on the responsibility of the provincial government. And I think that I agree with the natural heritage mapping, but I don't think that the province should put the financial burden on municipalities. And that's what this recommendation is directed at, I believe, is that the province should commit the resources to do it properly so that we don't end up in a predicament where we've got property owners and development opportunities that are hampered because the province hasn't done an adequate job in terms of how they're doing mapping.
Well, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop, and I understand exactly what you're saying, but how much of our resources have we put in this town over the last 6 or 7 years when it comes to wetlands because of the fact that they designated certain lands using aerial photos? I mean, I understand what you're saying. You're saying we don't want to spend our resources and we shouldn't be responsible for it. But if we don't do something, it looks to me like the province is just going to rely on aerial photos, and that's not very accurate. And then we just end up with the same problem that we have now when everybody comes back and says, well, we don't believe that that should be a wetland, and we don't believe that this should be this. We're fighting against ourselves if we don't come up with something and say we need to have something that's a little more accurate than an aerial photo. And if the province is saying that they're not going to do it that way, you know where they're going because that's what they've done so far.
So our recommendation, according to this report, is that the mapping of natural features for the growth plan be based on fieldwork. That's what our staff is saying their recommendation is to the province in response to the growth plan, based on fieldwork.
Exactly. And what I'm asking is if staff could use a hand, would that help if EAC were to work with them and help them?
Mr. Brady said that would be helpful.
And then I asked, would staff provide EAC with something that they could work with and look at when they're out doing their
Okay, I didn't hear that question, but Mr. Brady, maybe you could respond to that.
Certainly. We find that the Environmental Advisory Committee to be most effective in terms of reviewing natural areas when there's some scope and identification to it, and so therefore we use them very much in terms of reviewing EISs and also reviewing development proposals that are on the doorstep. That is the most effective use. The problem that we have here is that we're very concerned that the province may not accept field work from anybody, period. And so we have that problem all the time in that the people in Fort Erie will tell us, you know, this is not all that important, et cetera. But if the province of Ontario doesn't accept that, we're stymied. So the issue that we're trying to alert the province of Ontario is they need to do field work, because if they do the field work, they will find out that their air photos are not always as accurate. And that's why the comment is made that it is.
Councillor Lubertz, you still have the floor. Okay.
Yes, with that report.
Okay. So before we move off of this report, are there any other questions with respect to this report or comments? I just had a couple, and we'll just work our way through this. Mr. Brady, on page 3, there's a reference to the to the greenfield densities, talking about a minimum density of 80 people in jobs per hectare. What exactly is it that the growth plan is suggesting? I get 80 people per hectare if you're talking about a plan of subdivision. I'm not so sure about that as being a reasonable number for something like industrial development.
The way the province describes their minimum densities, they always talk about is people and jobs per hectare. Put aside the jobs for the moment. And when we're talking about a residential subdivision, they're looking for a subdivision to have 80 people per hectare. Well, in the town of Fort Erie, you can divide, in every house, you use about 2.5 people. That's, it's a little different than that, but that's just a round number to think about. And if you do the math on all the way through this, at 50 people in jobs per hectare, which is what we're talking about now, you're talking about a subdivision which is singles and townhouses, and you can make a subdivision that looks with singles and townhouses to meet that kinds of that kind of density. If you're talking about 80 people per hectare, to get that kind of density, you're talking about something which has very few singles. So what they're asking us to do is actually end up with areas which have higher densities in our greenfield areas, which are at the edges of the municipality, than we actually have in our downtowns. And in fact, that is actually in the downtown of St. Catharines. There was some mapping that was done by the region, which was really quite useful, to identify where we have achieved that kind of a density in the region at the present time. And there weren't very many areas. The areas that they identified were the Fallsview area in Niagara Falls. Most of you are well aware of the densities in the Fallsview area of Niagara Falls, I suspect. That's where all the high-rise hotels are. And some parts of downtown St. Catharines. But we're quite concerned that 80 people and jobs per hectare is way too high. And that's why we're commenting that it is recommended that the Fort Erie request the establishment of a lower greenfield density for smaller urban communities and or combined density greenfield to build up to provide flexibility. And I can tell you that the majority of planning directors in Niagara share my concern with this, and we're trying to make that comment through to the province. But this is directly coming down from the province, and I understand from Cabinet that they want much higher densities in our subdivisions.
So that's okay if you want to live in Toronto. If you don't want to live in Toronto or some of the other places in the GTA, this is not good news. And that's very helpful to know, because to me that's a danger sign for smaller communities or even larger communities if St. Catharines can't match those types of things. And that kind of gets me to a comment that you made, Mr. Brady, with respect to the intensification. Even at 40% intensification, if it's only confined to existing neighborhoods, that again is the expectation of a transformation that turns our communities into something other than what we know now and what we grew up in and what we want to live in. If we're talking about hitting 40%, that means that greater and greater density is going to be required in order to keep that up over a sustained period of time. We see that, yes, there's the funeral homes that's turned into a 9-unit apartment building. That's great. But what about other infilling or any development? I mean, that's talking about, unless we have apartment buildings going up, which was suggested by one of the speakers earlier, we're talking about, I think even 40% creates neighborhoods that aren't what people here want to live in. Any comment on that?
What the report says is that we have been able to meet the 40% target. I don't think in doing so that we've actually seriously damaged, or in fact, in many areas, I think we've made them better by having some intensification within them. Yes, it's a balancing point in terms of protecting the existing neighborhood and also allowing for intensification. One of the things that helps in the Fort Erie area is that our built-up area, as defined by the province, actually has a lot of vacant land in it. And so therefore, the small condominium here and the small development there all goes towards the intensification. To meet the intensification target of 15%, if you think that the town of Fort Erie would have, let's say, 100 building starts, which we'll talk about later on, but let's say we have 100 building starts. So to meet across the board, to meet an intensification target of 15% means that we need about 4 or 5 severances in the urban area. It's not very hard to meet, and we meet it quite easily. And we meet the 40% quite easily. Now, the suggestion that it go to something higher than that, like 60%, which is what the region is toying with at the present time, I think, yes, then it does start to affect the urban communities in a way that we don't particularly want that to do. So it's a balancing point, I agree. That's why, again, we're recommending with the comprehensive review of not having intensification targets greater than 40%. And that's what we would like. That's the message that we'd like to send to the region, and hopefully they'll listen to that and not go us above the 40% as we move forward.
Yeah, I still have concerns about that, but the final question that I had relates to the comment on page 5 relative to the marina development. What is it the staff sees in the growth plan that may make development at the marina or difficult going forward?
There's certain aspects of the growth plan that talk about only allowing marinas on currently zoned land that provide for that function. And
well, that's good. Then there'd be no more marinas in Ontario. If that's what you're suggesting.
I'm not suggesting it. I'm suggesting that the growth plan and the meetings that we've had on them in terms of the training sessions certainly seems to want to put a crimp on marina development.
Okay, so the current marina is zoned presumably for marina development, and there's resort designation for the land to the south or the west, but the land across the street from the marina. So that you're still concerned, staff is still concerned that could be in jeopardy?
The current Niagara Parks Commission marina is actually not zoned for marina development. It has a rural zone because it sits out in the agricultural area, and therefore the zoning with it is not that of a marina.
Should we be trying to do something about that?
If the owner of the property has an interest in that, we've provided commentary to them before on that recently, and I don't mean to be glib in it, but we have commented to the Niagara Parks Commission staff, and in fact, I'll be talking to them in the not too distant future. And we've certainly brought this issue up to them to make sure that they're fully aware that there is an issue associated with this and that they best put their mind to it. And if they put their mind to it and say that there's no issue, that's great. But we think that the policy clarification here would go a long way, particularly if this policy that they have in place doesn't pertain to a provincial agency. Right now, it's silent on that.
Right. Yeah, thank you very much. I would appreciate it if you do bring that up with the Parks Commission staff. Are there any other questions with respect to that report? If not, then we'll move on. Interfere with your situation there, Councillor Lubert. You still have the floor. You had some other reports you wanted to address. Okay, is there anyone else? I had a question with respect to CS-16. Which is the annual investment report, and Mr. Jansen, with respect to the summary table on page 2 of the report, there's a number of investment types, average balance, et cetera, and then gets over to unrealized return or loss, and then unrealized return by percentage. And the final one, the one program, Earth or Equity Portfolio, says that there was an 8.3% return. That doesn't seem reflective of the unrealized return by dollar. Is there more information that just isn't included in that summary?
I can certainly find that out for you. I would only be guessing in terms of the reason that the 8.3% as a dollar amount is less than 8% of the total. So I'll get back to you on that.
And just for clarification, do we also take advantage of the advice from professional investment managers that work with any of these institutions that we do business with?
Yes, each investment advisor would be a professional. We deal with each of the major banks and have a contact with each of them, and they would have their own investment professionals.
And that got to my final question. Is there a reason why we invest with six different banks?
Yes, there is. We like to diversify our investments such that they're spread out over other holdings, and we also maintain contacts so as to get the most competitive quotes.
Okay, it just seems like more work, but if you think that that's a good idea, that's great. I had no further questions. Does anyone else have any questions about any of the reports? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I have a question with respect to IS-25-2016 TCC.
Yes.
And just wanted to ask Mr. Walsh through you, it doesn't speak to the length of time to make decisions regarding requests, and it does say that you meet on a quarterly basis. Could you just give me an indication as to how long it takes to make a decision on a request that's come through with respect to traffic?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I can't give a straight answer to that. Some questions we can talk at the next meeting and come up with a decision right away for simpler issues. Other issues may take traffic counts. You can't do traffic counts in the winter. We do those in the summer. Then it takes a bit of analysis. So if a request came in October and it needed a traffic count, they wouldn't get an answer until the next September, most likely. So it depends on the simplicity of the question.
Okay, thank you. And one more question, if I may.
Sure.
Is there any protocol or policy or that speaks to that effect? So you notify the individual that's put the request in and tell them that that may be the case?
For you, Mr. Mayor, this is obviously lacking in our response that we've received your request. So we'll include the process we go through and when they can expect an answer in future correspondence.
Thank you very much.
Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. Regarding PDS 69-2016, first, thank you to staff for the reality check on these hot days by talking about plowing and sanding. Much appreciated. My question is, have we ever looked at the utilization of equipment to help install our snow fencing? I know that we currently do it manually as far as driving in all of the posts and stakes, but I'm hoping for maybe a quick memo from a member of staff outlining if that is an option, how other municipalities do it. I'm wondering if we have a more efficient way to do it and what the dollars would be involved in utilizing that type of equipment.
Just for clarification, you're talking about IS-27, plowing.
I have my pages in the...
Which is part of the agenda, right. Mr. Walsh, did you get the question?
There shouldn't be any plows or sanders in the town initiated amendment to the...
through you, Mr. Mayor, we have not looked at that. As you note, it's work undertaken by our union membership in-house forces. So I think if we were to outsource that in the interest of cost savings, I think the first step would be a discussion with our union membership.
That's for your worship. Not necessarily looking at outsourcing it. It's just my mind was prompted by looking at winter control exercises and the rental of equipment. Do we have the ability to utilize equipment in-house? If it's an in-house initiative, is there equipment available to assist in the exercise of installing the snow fencing?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I think the only equipment we would be looking at is mechanized post-hole drivers, and sometimes they're hard to get onto farmers' fields.
Okay. So. Okay, thank you.
Okay, if there are no other questions, then I'll call the question with respect to the consent agenda items, except for the one that's been removed. All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. And then could we have... We have a motion with respect to IS 27, which is the... actually, that wasn't even on the floor, Councillor Passero. You had the wrong number, the wrong agenda. Okay, would you like to move IS 27?
Sure.
Okay, Councillor Passero has moved IS 27. It's on the floor. Are there any other questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That then takes us to Planning and Development Services, and I understand, Councillor Butler, you'll be chairing that.
Thank you, Your Worship. Planning and Development Services is now open. We have a presentation from a delegate this evening, Mr. Luciano Piccioni, President of RCI Consulting, and Dan Gabriel, President of Mars Homes. If you could state your name for the record, and if you could stay up after your presentation so that if a member of council has any questions.
Certainly.
Thank you.
My name is Luciano Piccioni. I'm president of RCI Consulting, and I'm here with Dan Gabriel, president of Mars Homes. And we're here to speak to you regarding Mars Homes' application for a brownfield rehabilitation and development charge exemption program for their project on Ridgeway Road, which is South Coast Village Phase 2. We submitted that application to the town on July 23rd of this year. Now, some of you may recall that I was, in fact, the consultant who prepared your Brownfield Community Improvement Plan back in 2010, and I'm pleased to be here acting on behalf of Mars Homes to make application. Now, the application is for a total maximum in terms of program eligible costs of just over $1 million. That breaks out basically as approximately $675,000 in environmental remediation costs, approximately $315,000 in eligible demolition debris removal costs, and approximately $35,000 in infrastructure upgrading for Ryan Avenue. Now, the program itself allows the remediation expenses to be applied against development charges payable up to 75% of the development charges payable. So even if council approves this application, you would still collect at least 25% of the development charges normally payable, and any of the environmental remediation costs applied against those development charges payable would then be removed from the tax increment grant. As noted in the staff memo, the application is complete. We made sure that that application had all of the information required by staff and made sure it was complete. We understand that the application will be considered for approval by Planning and Development Committee on September 6th and by full council on September 12th. Now, I believe the application fully complies with all the program requirements, and approval of that application would send a very positive message to other developers considering brownfield redevelopment projects in the town. But that will be dealt with, of course, in September by Planning and Development Committee when you consider the application. The only thing we're here asking for this evening is that Mars Homes be permitted to start their remediation work now rather than waiting until September 12th. That saves between 5 and 6 weeks for Mars Homes in their schedule. And why are we asking for that? Well, there are 47 residential units in this development, and 30 of them have been offered for sale, and all 30 of them have been sold. So Mars Homes must remediate the site and file a mandatory record of site condition with the Ministry of Environment. It's not optional. It's mandatory because the site is being changed from a commercial use to a residential use. And before they can file that record of site condition, they have to remediate the site. Once the record of site condition has been filed and acknowledged by the ministry, which can take a month or more, then the town can issue building permits. So, you know, best case scenario, it will take a few weeks to clean up the site, file the record of site condition. A month at minimum will pass while the ministry is evaluating that. So if they started tomorrow, they're 2 months out before the town has an acknowledged record of site condition, minimum, right? So we're into October. If you don't approve this early start, they're into November. Okay. And then we get into a problem getting all 30 units weather tight before the winter weather hits. And if that delay happens, Mars Homes will in all likelihood have to delay the closing on those 30 units, and we'll have to delay offering the balance of the units, the other 17 units, for sale. So it creates a real problem for them. Now, in terms of our request, while staff has noted that the program guide itself indicates the application must be made and approved by the town before commencement of the eligible works, that's in the program guide, which is just a guide. The actual Brownfield Community Improvement Plan, which is the document that establishes and governs the programs, does not require that the application be approved by the town before the eligible works are started. So we're here in full disclosure approach to, as part of our application, as soon as I was made aware of this and did the application as quickly and completely as possible, we asked for, as part of that covering letter, this consideration from council. So finally, I want to note that if council does grant this request, you still have full authority over approval of the application in September. Approving this request to allow Mars Homes to start early in no way fetters council's approval authority with regard to this application. And Mars Homes has agreed to assume the full risk should council elect, for whatever reason, to not approve the application on September 12th. Now, when I was the City of Hamilton's Brownfield Coordinator, which I did for 5 years, we did occasionally, I think there was two or three times, we had requests like this to start the eligible works after the application was submitted but before council approved it. And in fact, our very first application in Hamilton back in 2001 was exactly the same, and it was a similar situation. So in that case and in Hamilton, those requests were approved at the staff level. And I certainly understand the staff in town here not being comfortable doing that and asking council to consider that. So in summary, we feel the request is minor in nature and that it's reasonable. We've made the request as part of our application, and we wouldn't be here requesting this consideration from council if it was not absolutely necessary. So we hope that council will approve this request, and Dan and I are happy to answer any questions that you might have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Piccioni. Does any member of council have a question, Your Worship?
That's a bunch of questions, but just to thank Mr. Piccioni and comment on the development that Mars has undertaken, which we've all had an opportunity to see. And when we get to new business, Madam Chair, I will move the resolution suggested by our staff to assist this.
Thank you. Any other member of council? I'm seeing none. That brings us to reports. Can I have a mover for PDS-64-2016, the proposed zoning bylaw amendment 223-227 Gilmore Road, Karen Minhas? Thank you, Councillor McDermott. That report is now on the floor. Does any member of council have any questions or comments? Your Worship.
Madam Chair, I've got a lot of anxiety about the size of these units, and I know that it's important for us to make sure that we have a good mix of housing, but I've done some calculations, even looking at the floor plans and looking at the measurements. I don't know how you multiply some of these width by depth and end up with the square footage. I've got one at 204 square feet. And by the time you get a washroom and a couple of appliances in there, that's hardly room to move around. It may be that there's a market for this, I don't know, but that's something that I would ask our staff to maybe find out whether there appears to be a need for these types of units. I also have the similar anxiety that was expressed by one of the speakers about this building is going to be altered into a multi-unit residence, and it doesn't sound, according to our report, that there's anything planned to be done on the outside. So I don't think that that really helps the neighborhood, and I would encourage the owner to undertake some work on the exterior as well as the interior. But unless there's something further that comes forward, I'm not supportive of reducing the minimum square footage from 40 square meters to 20 square meters. I can get there.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Councillor Lubert.
Yes, thank you very much. I guess my question is to staff. We're receiving this for information. And from what I'm seeing here, just the information that you're giving me, I'm not happy with what I'm seeing. I don't know how anybody can live in a 200 square foot and call it an apartment. I don't know how that all works, but there's minimums, 40 square meters, I guess it was, or square feet. That's the minimum. And here we go again. Let's make an amendment and we'll forget the minimums and set the precedents. And, you know, we're going to be doing that somewhere else in this town. And that's what I'm worried about that comes forward. And if you don't allow it the next time, then, you know, they go to the OMB and the OMB says, well, you already set the rules with the other development, so you have to allow this development. And it goes on and on. So I wanted everyone to know I'm not supporting this even for the information. So I'm hoping that everybody takes a close look at this when it does come for final approval. But I can't see this working out very well. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lubritz. Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have concerns as well. I will support the report for information purposes. This is part of a process, and comments generated by both the public and us as members of council give the applicant and staff an opportunity to go back and respond to those comments. They can make changes if they wish. They can bring it back the same way. It's up to them. But I will support the information report tonight to move the process along and make sure that it comes to its full completion, even though I do have some concerns as mentioned by members of council already. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comments or questions? Councillor McDermott?
Yeah, I tend to agree with Councillor Passero that we just wait until we get the report from staff and make our decision based on some of the comments that were made by the public tonight. So hopefully during this period of time, Ms. Minhaus and planning can get together on maybe trying to solve some of the complaints that we heard this evening.
Thank you. Any other comments? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? All those opposed? Motion carried. That brings us to report PDS 65-2016, Planning and Development Services, Development, Building, and Bylaw Statistical Reporting, second quarter 2016. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor Zanko, that report is now on the floor. Any comments or questions? I was wondering why you were standing there. We have a presentation. Sorry about that. Yeah.
Good evening, Your Worship and Council. I'm just going to add to this report with a quick little presentation. Our department believes that it's a good opportunity to highlight what kind of a first half of the year we've just had. So without further ado here, and it was generally, typically it was a Q1 was pretty normal, but Q2 was remarkable. It really sent us a lot higher than we anticipated. We had the highest volume of the residential permits were still in the stalwart areas, the ones like Ridgeway, Thunder Bay areas, certainly have led the growth of Fort Erie in the past decade, if not longer, with more than 33%, or I think it was the smallest amount of permits coming out of that part of Fort Erie. But it is probably also the best quarter since I've been, the records that I have at my fingertips and the spreadsheets that were left to me, you know, when I inherited the job. So it's worthwhile just quickly talking about it. This slide here shows you Q1 and Q2. Q1 is the blue, red is Q2. You can see how much more activity has occurred in our second quarter. And of course, it's happened there in the Ridgeway Thunder Bay area. But I think what's I wanted to point out in this slide is you'll see the very first column there is the Bridgeburgs slide and also the Spears High Point slides that have just been highlighted there. 15 units were in Bridgeburg. Let me put it in context. In the last 19 years, there's been 14. So in this one quarter here, this first half of the year, we've had Bridgeburg with 15 units. Now, I will say that it is the Rose Seton conversions. It is the downtown apartments that are is the types of intensification that you know, we were discussing here in the council chambers earlier. But that in itself is you know, where we're anticipating these types of develops to occur, and that's what's happening. So it's good to see Bridgeburg in there. The other one there, of course, is Spears High Point. 20 years without a permit in Spears High Point. I think there's 11 on here right now, and I spoke with the development or the sales teams. They've got, I think, 21, close to 21 sold. So that is very important as well. That's a result of the Frenchman's Creek trunk sewer being in the ground now. These plans are now in a point where they're advancing, registering, and they're selling homes. And I think just the next slide here I just want to use here. Ridgeway by the Lake, I called the development sales rep teams, and I was asking about demographics. Okay, so I wanted to know what kind of people were the purchasers, you know, where are they coming from, that type of thing. It's no surprise, Ridgeway by the Lake, you know, the 100% empty nest buyers are in that area, the active retirements. But the good things that I was seeing were the Spears Estates. There was 50% semi-retired, fully retired, 50% in the late 20s to the early 50s, working, you know, working middle-class families. Some were with young families, about to have families. So we're getting the price point in there in our marketplace, where there's schools, amenities, services, the types of community that they're going to need to establish themselves. And the last one there, of course, is the South Coast. And I was interested to hear some of the comments that were coming out of Dan and, sorry, Luch. The demographics, I spoke to their sales rep, and they were about 75 empty nest, retired, planning to live there year-round, but 25% were also young families, he said, including a first-time buyer. So you've got these three developments, which have been, you know, I should qualify this, South Coast is not registered, okay? So if they've got 37 permits, that's 37 permits you're going to see in future quarters. I put this in here because we just know that the demand is there and that the pre-sales were there. So, I mean, this is going to, by the time it's registered, it'll be sold. So, but those are permits that are going to come. And with these other two here, they've been phenomenal. So I just want to show you our five-year average. So you'll see all these lines. Each is a quarter, Q1, 2, 3, 4, the different colors. And they've all been following this sort of, you know, range over the past 60 months or 5 years. We're in there about, you know, 10 permits on the low side, 40 on the high side. And then you can see our Q4, our Q2 there, and it's just rocketed right out the top. So that's our average absorption rate in the town previously, or up till last quarter, was 93.6 units a year. And then after this last quarter, it's jumped over 100. I don't think it's been over 100 in, I don't know, 7 years, 8 years, pre-recessionary times. Okay, so that's the number we use to draw down on our stock. You know, how long is going to last us? We divide it by that absorption rate. Here's the last 20 years in annual. Okay, you can see that the permits are bouncing up and down between 120, 160 over that course of the time. That red line I've just introduced there is the recession, and down it went. You know, we leveled off. There's the 100 permit line, and we sort of bounced off it a few times. And then the upper end of that was the 160s. Now, if we were to continue on with the kind of first half we've had, on the chart it's going to show up just where we would land. If we paced the projection on what we had today, we'd be off the top. But I think, you know, just reservedly or modestly or conservatively, I think what we're looking at is something probably close to our recessionary times. I think that we should be expecting about 160 is my guess, based on what I've seen on this past month, you know, peeking at the permits, the demand that we see in the marketplace, our builders that are all quite active. So I think really that's the end of it. I just wanted to point that out, make sure this council knew this is sort of a benchmark we've just hit back to the pre-recession. Okay.
Thank you very much. Does any member of council have any questions?
Just a comment.
Sure, your worship.
I think I saw a late email that said we'd been able to hire another building inspector. Is that correct?
We will have an additional building inspector starting with the town on the 15th of this month.
So he'll be busy as well. Thank you.
Councillor Knight?
Thank you, Chair Butler. Madam Chair, just more of a comment that one thing to note too in the report when you get further down is that we're seeing a larger number of building permits in commercial and industrial, which is encouraging for future job market to see them coming here.
Thank you. Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Similar vein to the previous comments, just want to acknowledge the hard work of planning staff in keeping up with this demand, but also acknowledge that this places an added demand across the board for our staff complement. The more residents, the more homes, everything from bylaw enforcement, infrastructure services, you name it, across the game, we're seeing high tides right now in Fort Erie, and I think it's key that come budget time this year, next year, we look at providing some additional resources across the board in the areas that are feeling the pinch. So with good news, there always comes some added demand, and we need to be cognizant of that because we want to keep trending in this direction. We don't want to hit that ceiling and figure out what do we do now. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other councillors? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? Motion carried. PDS 66-2016 is the report on the floor. Proposed amendment to draft plan of condominium, Deerwood Lane Condominium, 1736105 Ontario Inc., John Kendall. Can I have a mover for that? Councillor Passero. That report is now on the floor. Any comments or questions from members of council? Zuberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I just wrote a couple of notes down about some of the comments that were made by one of the delegates. And one of the things was that when the builder was working on phase one, there was a situation where they ran into the rock and they continued building to their heights and then changed the elevation. Is there, can we get any verification on that? Is that what happened?
Through you, Madam Chair, to Councillor Lubert's question. The permits for the first block in phase one, which would be the Deerwood Lane subdivision, were, I believe, back in 2012 or 2013. It appears that the inspection reports have limited detail. And unfortunately, none of the building staff that were here at that time are here now. So I wouldn't be able to find that out for you to confirm that or not.
Well, thank you very much. The subdivision was approved back then, but when did they start building? Are you saying that when they started building, none of the staff that's here now was here when they started building?
Again, through you, Madam Chair, to the Councillor, none of the current building department staff that we have right now were here when those houses were built. The entire building department staff has turned over in the last about a year and a half ago. It was completely turned over.
Well, thank you very much. So can someone explain to me how that works? If I make an application now and then the person that we were dealing with leaves, I can do whatever I want?
Mr. Brady?
Is that how it works?
No. What I believe my colleague has been explaining is that the records at the time that were kept by the building staff when those first homes went in are very poor. That's not the case in our building department now. Our building department keeps very accurate records and goes out on sites to make sure that these things are addressed. So what we're saying is that the buildings that were put in place, the building permits were issued, and apparently in some of the cases they ran into rock. And they did, we know by the fact that they're simply higher, that the rock was not removed and the basements were put in sitting on the rock as opposed to cutting into the rock. That has created elevation issues in terms of the top of the roof, but it hasn't created any issues in terms of the zoning. The zoning on the site is consistent. There's no issues associated with that. What we're looking at today, and the reason that we've taken the very strong stance of stopping work on this project, as you probably have noticed, if you go out on the site, there's no work being undertaken on the site, is that we came to a realization that the developer was not meeting the standards that are in place, and that there are some issues, and one in particular was the one that Mr. Prentice showed you, was that catch basin, which is identified and the developer built on someone else's property. That's unacceptable, period. So we put a stop work order on the project, told everybody to go away, and are now in the process of trying to work with the developer to have a grading plan and a drainage plan that will deal with the property correctly. And as we've identified in this report, until we have that from this developer and his engineer, there will be no more movement on the site. There will be no building permits issued. There will be nothing else occurring. That's the strongest position that we can take on a development, and we have taken that.
Mr. Lubert?
Yes, well, thank you very much. I guess it's confirmed that the houses are higher than they should be, but I understand that the zoning didn't change, and obviously, yes, that wouldn't change the zoning, but the elevations of the properties around Phase 1 properties are higher. Is that correct?
What you've noticed in the slides was that the tops of the buildings are higher. What we're also looking at is whether the elevation in this particular case would be referred to as the ground level. Yeah. And that's also what we're looking at. So we want to make sure that the elevations are sufficient to ensure that the grading and drainage on the site works. Right now, we're not sure. We know that it was not being done at the standards that have been applied to by the approvals that we provided for, and we want that to be altered. So we want all the drainage on the site to be contained within the site, as we always do, and we want the grading on the site to work and to not have any grading onto someone else's property, which is not acceptable. And that's why we have put forth the recommendation that we've identified this evening, that this project is on hold until such time as these questions are answered. And we've taken the unusual position of actually making sure that this is public and it's brought to in front of everyone in an open and transparent fashion through a public meeting, and that we'll be back and we'll do it again to make sure that everyone in the neighborhood is well aware of what needs to be done and what will be done to ensure this development can move forward.
Okay, thank you very much. And just moving forward with the issue Mr. Prentice had raised about everything being on his property. Now, does he still have recourse to say, I don't want it on my property, therefore the road would have to be moved or removed? How does that work out for Mr. Prentice? What I'm hearing is we're worried about the drainage. I'm worried about encroachment on someone else's property. How do we mitigate that?
Through the answer to that question is that the developer has been told that he's not to be putting material on the neighbor's property unless they have the permission of that neighbor. At one point in time, they had defined to us that they did have permission from that neighbor, and we asked for it in writing, and it's not been provided. So, yes, both the dirt that is on the property will need to be remedied, plus the catch basin will need to be remedied. If Mr. Prentice wants the catch basin removed, which is what I understand he does, I think the catch basin where it is actually provides Mr. Prentice with drainage that he doesn't have, but nonetheless, if he wants that catch basin removed, it will definitely be removed. And that's what we're looking for. Will that create the need to revise the road? That's to be determined. There are other ways of doing some of these things, such as retaining walls and other engineering matters. And we're waiting for a design that will accomplish that.
Okay, thank you very much. That hopefully that's helping Mr. Prentice to figure out what his line of action can be on this. But my question is the road. I've been there. I've been by there, and I work with a lot of contractors in town. And all of them have commented to me and asked me, what's going on over there? Like, why is that road built up so much? Was that part of the plan? Like, I remember seeing this plan come forward. I don't remember reading anything about elevating a road 5 feet or 3 feet. And so is that something that's not done right as well?
Mr. Brady?
At this point in time, all aspects of the property are being reviewed, and a solution to all of them will come forward. And once we have that, we'll certainly bring that back to council. And it'll be in a public session so that Mr. Prentice and his neighbors will be able to find out exactly what we're proposing, or what, I take that back, what the developer is proposing and what we believe is appropriate, and we'll take the next steps.
So the road elevation hasn't been reviewed yet. Nobody knows whether that was approved or... I think that's what most of the neighbors are concerned about, obviously, is... hasn't been looked at all yet? Road elevation?
Without getting into a lot of detail, I think it's important that we look at this as an overall package that needs to be addressed.
Yes, I understand that, but the question is, has the road been looked at? I'm asking a pretty simple question. Do you not want to answer the question?
Brady?
All aspects have been looked at. We do not have a final answer for you on that at the present time. That will come back to council once we have a full answer.
Okay, thank you very much.
Councilor Lubberts, you've had 10 minutes. Can we move on to someone else? And then we'll come back to you for second round, okay? Your Worship?
Yes, maybe just to get to that global perspective. I presume that there was a lot grading plan with respect to phase one, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Mr. Brady?
Yes.
So it would be easy to determine whether or not the current elevations comply with the lot grading plan, because we would have presumably dealt with that in terms of final inspections. So I wonder if that information could be circulated to councilors so that we've got that.
I can put some information together and send it out in the next little while.
Then with respect to this next phase, presumably as well, I'm thinking that there would have been an initial lot grading plan that would have been submitted by the developer. Has that actually happened yet with respect to this phase, Madam Chair?
Mr. Brady?
There was a grading plan that had been provided, and it had certain assumptions in it, which now we believe are not appropriate.
Right. And that would have, I presume, Madam Chair, relate to the elevation of the road.
Mr. Brady?
And other things.
I go by this site at least twice a day, sometimes more frequently, and I did raise this with staff when I first seemed to me to be completely out of proportion to, in terms of height, to the surrounding areas. I know that the staff was requested to approve this, and I presume, Madam Chair, that the construction of that road was approved by town staff. Is that correct?
Mr. Brady?
The grading plan and the design of the subdivision was approved and before it went forward, yes.
So I guess and I'm pretty confident that staff, I'm sure Madam Chair, would not have approved this without the developer's engineer having given some assurances that this would actually somehow work. Or am I incorrect in that?
Mr. Brady?
I believe that's a fair assumption.
So I'm not an engineer. I'm not a builder. I'm not a developer. But I am a human, and we're allowed to use common sense. And this is, I tend to agree with whoever referred to this as a mistake. I tend to agree. This looks like a mistake. How you could ever get units on either side of that road without detrimentally affecting the brand new units that have been built on Prospect, I have no idea. That makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. It could be that it's an optical illusion, but it sure looks like the road is way too high and can't possibly, I don't see how that road is going to survive to the point where these units in phase two are ever going to be built. I just don't see that. Now, there are probably technical reasons why that road needs to be so high. And is that because there are services underneath that road, Madam Chair?
Mr. Brady?
I don't have that information in front of me, but I would assume that that's absolutely correct, that there would be services running under the road.
I think what would be helpful for council is if we could get a memo helping to explain what the staff sees as drainage and grading issues and what has been presented to this point by the developer and what it is that staff is looking for. That just gives us the background information. But I also think it's helpful for the residents to understand that we have concerns as well. And I do not want to make the same mistake that was made over on Hibbard, where the townhouses have such an elevation with virtually no grade to the road that you couldn't possibly get your car into the garage. And I presume that's why none of them have sold to date. So let's not go too far down this road and get ourselves into a predicament, because this is of concern, should be of concern to all of us. And I know it's of concern to staff. Obviously, they've put a stop work order on it, so appreciate that. But let's not make any further mistakes. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree 100% with His Worship. I know in some situations in the past we have realized that mistakes have occurred, and we have done our best to ensure that no mistakes happen going forward. This is not one of those situations. There needs to be some rollback here to get us back to where this should have been from day one, and I look forward to staff suggestions to figure out how we do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Councillor Lubert.
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Just going through the process of notifying council and giving council more information about what has happened here. I don't know that any of us are directly affected by this subdivision or this works that's been stopped, but how are we going to relay that message back to the people that are affected and the people that have commented here tonight? Because I'd like them to have the information as well.
Mr. Brady?
Yes, no, I mean, I'm talking about
thank
council.
You. But you, I'm sorry to interrupt. You had an opportunity to speak earlier during the public session. This is not the forum at this point to do that. I apologize for saying that to you, but Councillor Lubert's and... No, that's okay. Thank you. And Mr. Brady, could you comment?
As we have outlined, we will be bringing back this issue to council, and there will be a public meeting at that time. And a lot of the information that that has been asked for will certainly be a part of a staff report that will be provided when we have a solution to this. If we have a solution to it, I'm assuming that at some point in time there will be a solution. So I think it's, in my opinion, best to, we'll send out this memo to mayor and council, which will be factual based, so it'll be factual in its outline, and that can be shared if mayor and council wish to do so. But the actual trying to come up with a resolution to the matter, we'd like to hold off to that. We're not going to suggest that there's multiple different ways of resolving it at the present time, until such time as we have one that we believe is comprehensive in its entirety. So we'll provide that memo that we've been asked to do, absolutely, in terms of the drainage and the greenage and the grading issues and the factual basis to that and where we're at. And then we're going to go through a process, and we certainly have asked the engineering group that are supporting Deerwood Lane to come up with some solutions. And those solutions will be brought back to this council and to the public through a public meeting. And that there will not be any movement on this subdivision until such time as that public meeting occurs and we have a resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Brady. Councillor Lubberts?
No, that's it for now. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Nutt?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through you to Mr. Brady, I'm just wondering, since under the Planning Act, the notification, we don't necessarily have to notify the residents, but I think it might be a good idea in this case that within a certain radius, we send a mailer.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that everybody who's affected, for the benefit of those in the audience, that they can get a mailed notice of when that public meeting will be.
Mr. Brady.
When we have a public meeting, we use the same procedure to do so, which includes sending out mailed notices to adjacent people. And what we'll do is, for the second public meeting, we'll use the exact same process that we've always used, which... however, I will add, if there's anyone here either in the audience or is listening to this on the net, if you would simply let us know that you would also like to be informed, we could certainly extend that to anyone who asked to be done. You can do that by either contacting myself or by contacting one of the planning staff that's involved in this file, which would include Mr. Kernahan and Jeremy.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? All those opposed? Motion carried. Report number PDS-67-2016, Stevensville Memorial Park Playground Award of Contract. Can I have a mover for that? Councillor Zanko? Councillor Nutt? Any comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? Motion carried. PDS-68-2016, Bay Beach Woods Subdivision Amending Subdivision Agreement Approval.
So moved.
Thank you, Your Worship. That report is now on the floor. Your Worship, would you like to speak to that?
Madam Chair, I note that this doesn't indicate who's behind this. And usually the reports indicate who the individual is, so in case we have a conflict. This would be Mooney Hetram, I believe. And I just want to thank and congratulate staff for working with Mr. Hetram to find a workable solution in a situation where this gentleman has been working at this plan of subdivision for a number of years. It's a really good location. It's a good development. He needs some assistance with respect to being able to move forward, and I commend staff for keeping it open.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions with respect to this report? Councillor Lubert?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I just got a couple of problems with what we're being asked to do. And it looks to me, when I'm reading, let's go to page 3, first paragraph in page 3. When we're reading this, it looks like what the proposal is for this developer to give the town 44 lots in return for a letter of credit. But when I'm reading this, it shows that it's just a note, a promissory note, or whatever you would want to call it, that he'll give us and he'll sign over so that we have ownership to this property 10 years from now if he doesn't complete the works. And can somebody verify that? I'd like you to verify that I'm reading this wrong.
Mr. Brady, can you comment on this?
Yes, I can. And what we're doing is we're asking Mr. Hetram to provide us with four lots, which the town of Fort Erie will own. We will have them in our possession, and those four lots will stay in our possession, and they will be used as a form of credit so that the if the works that Mr. Hetram needs to do is not performed as the subdivision agreement requires it, we'll turn around and sell the lots, and we'll use the money that's generated from that to ensure that the work is done. If Mr. Hetram does the work and it's completed in 10 years' time, then Mr. Hetram will have the lots returned to him if all of the work is done.
Councillor Lubert.
How is the money going to be generated for him? Like he can't do the work now, and all he's requested to do is to get a letter of credit. How is the developer going to generate the money to do the works? I guess he can't come up with the money now to complete the subdivision. How is he going to come up with the money just because we gave him a letter of credit? There's no money exchanged here.
Mr. Brady?
Well, there are a number of possibilities. One, Mr. Hetram could sell the lots, and each lot has a value associated with them, and he could use that money to do the additional work. A second possibility is that Mr. Hetram could be the general contractor in building buildings, residential homes on the lots, turn around and sell those lots with the buildings on them, and then from there generate revenue, which he could then be used to do the secondary work on the lots. If you go out to this particular subdivision today, and you drive down the road and up to the cul-de-sac and turn around and come back, you'll see that it's, for all intents and purposes, this subdivision is complete. The sewers are in place, the water lines are in place, the gas is in place, the electricity is in place. What Mr. Hetram has is a large number of lots, and he is building the homes on them in a slow fashion. But that's fine. That's up to him. There's certainly a great deal of value in these lots. And so the value is certainly there. And we're agreeing to take those lots which have value and hold them as instead of holding a letter of credit.
Well, thank you very much. So in other words, if he, in order to complete the works, he could sell the lots. That makes a lot, that, to me, that's the way he might want to go now. Why not sell the lots now? Why do we have to give him a line of credit or letter of credit?
Part of the difficulty, if I might, Mr. Brady, interrupt, since I and Mr. Cook had also met with Mr. Hetram, part of his predicament is he's got a certain amount of credit at the bank. The line of security or the line of credit for our securities is significant. He can't go beyond that. So he's looking at ways that he can provide security to the municipality and then be in a position where he can utilize credit from the bank in order to construct houses. Every house that he constructs means that less security that the municipality requires, and it means that he's got less need for credit. So really what he's looking for was some way that the municipality could facilitate his being able to construct stuff. And this way, if we're holding security in the guise of property as opposed to a letter of credit, he then has credit available at the bank that he can utilize in order to start construction.
That helpful information, Councillor?
Yes, I understand that. So, and I'm looking at this realistically. What the guy is really asking for is for us to help him with his financing, and I don't know that we are here to be financiers of a developer. He has all the mechanisms to do what he needs to do to move that project forward. If he doesn't have if he can't continue on and get an extended line of credit, like Mr. Brady says, he can sell these lots. He can sell some lots and develop himself some money so that he can build some houses on those lots. But I don't see where this is a benefit to the town of Fort Erie, and I don't see where this is in the best interest of the town of Fort Erie to be getting involved in someone else's finances. I'm sure there's other developers that are out there that would like to purchase one of those lots and build a house on there. But to me, looking at this, it looks to me like it's the developer wants to keep everything to himself in his own little package, and he's asking the town to help him out so that he can keep all the other developers out or keep other builders out there, and he will make all the money, and then as we help him along, he can sell houses and sell lots. I don't know that we want to help. I don't know that that's what we're here for. We're here to govern. We're not here to become partners with people because they can't get a line of credit.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Lubert. Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it's important everyone understands a letter of credit is more than just some words on a piece of paper that the bank says, you know, somebody will co-sign, we'll give you some more money. A letter of credit is actually $197,850 is sitting in an account that he cannot touch. It's sitting there in escrow. His cash flow dried up. It's there. We are looking to help businesses. We are looking to help developers. The only thing we're also looking for is security to ensure that we have the dollars at a certain point in time should the works of the developer not be done. We will go in and do them. There's two ways that we can do that. One is a letter of credit. We have cash. This is a more creative option that I fully support, brought forward by staff, which is give us some properties instead for an equal value. And rather than the cash, we'll just sell those when the time comes. Either way, we get our money to complete the works. But this is much more than us becoming a partner. We're not getting involved in his financial dealings. We're just retaining the security that we need and the dollars that we need and freeing up $197,850 that's doing nothing for this gentleman. And honestly, it's not doing anything for us. I'd rather it be in his hands than ours. Let's move forward with the development. Let's get these things in line. I fully support this. Agree with his worship's comments. Thank you to staff for making this happen.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Councillor Lubritz.
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Looking at the report under financial staffing implications, and we'll go to the $197,850,000 that Councillor Passero is referring to, I'm reading the paragraph, and it says the town undertook the services of an appraiser to value lots 16, 17, and 18. We know the value of the lots on 16, 17, and 18, but the developer comes along and says, well, yeah, but I'm not going to give you those. What I'm giving you is lots 7, 10, 22, and 27. Is that correct?
Mr. Brady?
That's correct.
So we don't even have an appraisal on the lots that he's given us. We have an appraisal on lots that he's not giving us, and we paid for those appraisals. I don't get this whole report. I don't see why would we get an appraisal on three lots that we're not going to own.
Your Worship.
No, we're going to have four lots. We're going to own four lots, and then the report indicates...
Yeah, you got an appraisal on three lots, and you're not going to own those three lots.
Well, if I might be permitted to finish, Madam
yes.
Chair.
Well, I have the floor, yes. Madam Chair.
He's just interjecting
yes,
at this
Yes, thank you
moment.
Very much.
Your Worship, please continue.
No, why don't we just put this to a vote and end it?
Okay.
So I move that we call the question.
Well, nobody wants to answer the questions.
I'll call the
how
question.
How this comes about.
Councillor Lubert, the question has been asked to call.
Thank
so
you very much for
the
transparency that we're all talking about that's in our...
Well, you're not listening.
Thank you very much.
We're going to call the question now. All those in favor? All those opposed? The motion is carried. Moving on to report number PDS 69-2016, Town Initiated Amendment to the Comprehensive Zoning Bylaw number 129-90 to address impacts of infill development in Crystal Beach. Can I have a mover for that, please?
So moved.
Thank you, Your Worship. That report is now on the floor. Any comments or questions? Seeing none, call the question. All those in favor? Motion carried. That brings us to new business inquiries. And there is a memorandum that Mr. Brady, the Director of Planning and Development Services, is asking for an extension of time for submission of site plan for commercial development on Gorham Road Ridgeway, David Compson. Moved by Councillor Passero? No?
Oh, you need to put it on the floor.
Okay. And so that is on the floor. Councillor Passero, you'd like to speak to that.
Under new business, would like to move that that council extends the time frame for 2 years.
That motion is on the floor. Madam Clerk, can you give formal reading, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to help Councillor Passero out, I did prepare some wording if he would be so inclined to hear that.
Thank you, Ms. Babenko. I wasn't receiving it telepathically, so if you could read it aloud, I'd really appreciate it.
My pleasure. That Council grants an extension to Gorham Road, Inc. to enter into a site plan agreement for the development of 359-379 Gorham Road to August 8, 2018.
What I had on the other side, yeah. Thank you, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Are there any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'm going to call the question. All those in favor? All those opposed? Councillor Lubritz, are you in favor or opposed?
I declared a conflict earlier. Thank you.
Sorry, thank you. Yes, that's right. The motion is carried. Are there any new business inquiries, Councillor, Your Worship?
Madam Chair, I have two items. But the first one is I'd like to move the resolution that was suggested by staff with respect to the Mars Homes Brownfields CIP request to proceed. And that is, so I move that Council allows eligible work by Mars Homes Crystal Beach, Inc. for 428 Ridgeway Road, South Coast Village Phase 2 being carried out prior to tax assistance grant approval to be eligible for the tax assistance grant, subject to the town approving the tax assistance grant application in accordance with the Brownfields Community Improvement Plan bylaw number 109 for 2010.
Thank you. That motion is on the floor. Any comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? Motion carried. Any other new business inquiries, Your Worship?
Madam Chair, I've noticed a few times now when I've driven down Schooley Road that there's about halfway between Rebstock and the lake, there are six unfinished houses on the east side of Schooley Road, and I'm wondering what that's all about.
Mr. Brady?
Six or seven, maybe.
The through to the mayor, there are seven houses in that stretch of Schooley Road. They sort of go five, then there's a gap, and then there's two. It's my developer had building permits for them and was proceeding with the building permits, and our inspections were going ahead as they do. The construction had slowed somewhat. I suspect that, you know, for a variety of reasons these things happen. But I understand that the property is now owned by the bank and that the bank is in the process of determining what they will do with the land. I haven't seen it, but I've heard that there's the possibility that they may be offering five of them as a block and then two as another block. I don't have any detail on that, but there is, if you go to the houses, you'll note that there's information been put on them by the bank that identifies that they've been taken over by the bank.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other councillors? Are you finished, Your Worship?
I am.
Councillor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to correct the record earlier and apologize to Mr. Brady. What I meant to say was that for the people in the audience that don't know, that we issue under the Provincial Act a second notice. Not that we don't do that. Of course, we do that. But I just meant to say they might not have been aware of that the Act requires that.
Thank you, Councillor Nutt. Any other business inquiries? Okay, seeing none, we're moving on to... business status report. Any comments or questions? Seeing none, that completes planning and development, and I'm turning the chair back over to you, Your Worship.
Thank you, Councillor Butler. That then takes us to infrastructure services. Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Your Worship. Infrastructure services is now opened. Our first report is IS 28-2016, Bridge and Culvert Request Budget Amendments and Funding Forecast. Can I get a mover? Councillor McDermott? That report is on the floor. Are there any questions or comments? Seeing none, I will call the question. All those in favor? That motion carries. That brings us to new business or inquiries. Are there any matters of new business or inquiries? Councillor Lubberts, and then Councillor Butler.
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I just want to know if we can contact, I guess we would have to contact Niagara Parks Commission at the Niagara Boulevard and Jarvis Street, at the foot of Jarvis Street. There's a culvert right in the middle of the road, and it's sinking. I've hit it enough times now, and now I know better to avoid. So I haven't hit it lately, but lately it is getting deeper. And sooner or later, somebody's going to take a front end or a rear end out of their car. And I'm wondering if we can contact the Niagara Parks Commission and ask if they have a timeline as to when this will be repaired.
Mr. Walsh, could you make that notation and perhaps contact Niagara Parks?
That's noted, Chairperson. There may be an issue that the storm sewer is the town of Fort Erie, so we'll look into it certainly.
Oh, and then we'll get a timeline from the town of Fort Erie, I guess. Thank you very much.
Anything further?
Yes, I guess this is under infrastructure services because Sean Hutton attends our meetings. We have a major issue down at Bay Beach with security, and it's been ongoing, not just recently, it's been ongoing all summer. And people's bags aren't being checked for alcohol. We're hearing all kinds of stories that the staff down there is telling people that, well, if it's in cans, if your alcohol is in cans, it's okay. They're not showing up. There's only one person at the gate, at one gate, nobody at the other gate. Sometimes there's no one there. And we're constantly struggling to maintain some kind of order down there. The neighbors are getting upset. To me, it's embarrassing. And I'm just wondering, we need to do something. And I'm wondering if staff can expedite our options. And if the security company can't provide what they're contracted to provide, then maybe we can outsource it and backcharge them accordingly.
Mr. Cook, do you want to comment on this? I know you've been working on this as well. Can you provide some comment?
Sure, through you, Chair, to the Councillor. We've been struggling with this contractor all summer. They're new. We awarded this contract to them. It's a one-year contract with an optional second, and we've had many, many issues. Mr. Hutton and Mr. Walsh have met with the contractor. We were promised that they would pull up their socks and do a better job at security. Well, they really haven't. I visited the site again today and was not happy with what I saw. So we are pulling out the contract that we do have with them. Mr. Lustig will be asked to review it, and we will probably get out of that contract and take over summer security ourselves. That's what we're looking at this point.
Thank you. Councilor Lubberts, did you have anything further?
Yes, just one more thing. I just want to make a comment. I just want to thank our staff, Mr. Cookett, and our fire department staff that was at a meeting that I had with them during the week regarding parking down at the concerts in Crystal Beach. It was a great meeting. We came up with a good solution. I just wanted to let staff know that I worked the road closures last night at the council, at the concert, and all the roads that we were required to maintain access for the emergency vehicles, everything was maintained, everything worked out perfect. But having said all that, that just brings me back to the parking issue that we have. And I think what happened last night demonstrated that if we have a plan in place, we can control the parking situation. So that happened last night for the concerts, and I think that if we work and we put a plan together for the parking down in the Bay Beach area where it's really bad, then I'm sure that we can mitigate those problems and start making some of the residents a little happier rather than being upset that they can't go home when they need to because they can't get their boat in the driveway. Thank you.
Councilor Nunn?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just one comment on the Bay Beach situation with security. First off, I just want all of the constituents out there to know that we're taking this very seriously, and it's not town staff, it's a contractor. When we do deploy our own staff there, they do an excellent job. And secondly, I'd like to thank Mr. Cookett for his fast action with the railroad ties with CP and the rail line there right near the Stevensville Fire Hall. One of the rails was sticking up quite high, and it was good to see that he was able to get that repaired through CP very quickly so that it did not pose any damage or any type of issue with the traffic coming. So the residents and constituents in that area, thank you.
Is there any other areas of inquiries or new business by council? Councilor Passero, you're going to have to learn to start pinching me. I don't look over at you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I did the backyard barbecue circuit on Saturday night, and every house I was at, I got the same questions. I'm hoping Mr. Walsh could speak to our white fire hydrants.
Oh, yeah.
They're changing color, but for those that haven't yet, if Mr. Walsh could speak to what that process is.
Certainly. Through you, Madam Chair. Part of our water security enhancements is continuous painting of the fire hydrants. This is year two of a two-year program. The white coat is the base coat. It's a corrosion-inhibiting base coat. The yellow and a color-coded blue, cap will be painted very shortly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I appreciate it. I had lots of concerns as to, well, what do we do in the wintertime? I said, just wait. Like the leaves of fall, they will change color.
Are there any additional business inquiries? Seeing none, that brings us to the business status report. Does any member of council have any questions regarding the report? Seeing none, and I'll hand the chair back to you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Zanko. And I understand, Councillor Nutt, you will be chairing Corporate and Community Services?
That is correct, Your Worship.
I have the chair.
Thank you very much. Corporate and Community Services is now open. We do not currently have any presentations or delegations. There are no reports, so we'll move to 10.3, New Business and Inquiries. We have a memorandum from the clerk. Councillor Passero, you'd like to speak to that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would. This involves Loomis Crescent, and I know generally that we don't have to give notice for reconsideration at a council meeting, but given that there are affected property owners that did speak at a public meeting, my intent as somebody who voted on the prevailing side and defeated this report and recommendation from staff, I would like to make notice that I would like to reconsider that matter. And with the assistance of the clerk, looking at the first available opportunity, I note that it says September 6th, I believe. Just looking at our schedule, if there's any opportunity before that, or if it would be for September 6th, and whether or not the notice for reconsideration would occur, or not the notice, but the actual motion for reconsideration would occur on the 6th, or if that would happen tonight with the actual item appearing on the agenda for September 6th. So just hoping you can steer me in the right direction.
Madam Clerk, could you please clarify?
Certainly. Through you, Mr. Chair, it is recommended, though not required, that sort of a heads-up notice be given. Notice would only be given if it was something passed by council. At this stage, it was only passed or lost by the committee level. Therefore, you could put a motion on the floor right now at committee to reconsider it, but the action of that being carried means the immediate effect is that that motion to be reconsidered comes back on the floor. But doing it this way does give us an opportunity to let the affected residents know rather than have this suddenly sort of dealt with tonight without any advance notice to them. So though you're not effectively giving notice because that's a requirement of the council level, at the committee, you're being courteous to the public that may be affected by letting them know that in all likelihood this will be reconsidered if that motion passes on September 6th.
For you, Mr. Chair, I'd like to do that not just out of consideration for the members of the public, but my colleagues as well, who would not have known that I had intended to do this. So would just like to put it on public record that I intend to bring forward a reconsideration motion at the meeting of September 6th, and immediately following that, should it pass council to be reconsidered, that we would vote on the matter that night. So if any of the residents who spoke at the public meeting, if they could be informed that September 6th, if they would like to come and appear as a delegate, that is an option to them as well. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome. Do any other members of council have a new business or inquiry? Councillor Luberts, and then we'll go to Councillor Zenko.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just going back to the reconsideration and the letter from this lawyer, when that comes forward, are we going to have the report with us for the amendments that the applicant is that the applicant is bringing forward? Because the lawyer says that the application has been amended, and are we going to see that amendment as well,
Mr. Brady?
To my knowledge, the only thing that's being amended is what staff had recommended in the first place. Staff had recommended that the side yard be maintained so that there would be sufficient space for two cars in each of the lots that were being created. The letter that we received from the lawyer has indicated that the applicant has no issue with that, even though they had asked originally for that side yard to be altered. So the report of planning staff that came forward the first time is the same. There's no change to it, and the recommendation of planning staff remains the same.
Thank you. Councilor Luberts?
So we're not going to see the amended version? I mean, here it says that the plan reflecting this will be forwarded to Mr. Brady, to Rick Brady, for inclusion. I'm just wondering, if it's going to be forwarded for inclusion, are we not included?
It's my understanding that there have been some emails sent by the clerk today to all of Mayor and Council, which provided that information, that those emails will be also available at that upcoming meeting on September the 6th.
The emails or the amendment? The amendment is on the emails, right? I didn't see my emails.
Yes.
The plans, just some.
That's the amendment, if you will. The amendment is that the side yard is not being changed, and that the sketches that were provided showed that there would be sufficient land on each of the lots for two cars to be parked.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Luberts. Councillor Zenko?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just actually a comment that I wanted to extend to Mr. Jansen with regard to one of his staff members. Jillian Corney, who's the manager of Revenue and Collections. I just wanted to provide her with my thanks, and hopefully you can let her know. But she's just very, very responsive to all my residents' inquiries. And when I'm looking at for additional information, she just goes the extra yard. She even, on her own time, drives by a property to provide me with such detail. And that's very, very much appreciated. It not only makes my job a lot easier as a Ward 3 counselor, but it really helps to provide residents with such detailed and background. So hopefully, Mr. Jansen, you can let Jillian know that I thank her. I have thanked her personally, but I just wanted her to have some additional acknowledgement.
Thank you. I will.
Are there any other inquiries? Seeing none, I'll move to the business status report. Are there any questions, comments on the business status report? Seeing none, I'll turn the chair back over to your worship.
Thank you, Councillor Nutt. We're now at scheduling of meetings. Are there any meetings scheduled that anyone would like to advise us, Councillor Nutt?
Thank you, your worship. On Wednesday, we have an appeals hearing for the gaming committee. This next week will be on August 14th to the 17th to the AMO conference. And the Communities in Bloom is coming up on August 21st, their awards banquet.
4 o'clock, I believe.
Yes, I think so. Stevie Shrub? Yeah, 4 p.m. the doors open.
And any other meetings? There being none, anyone like to move that we adjourn? Councillor Nutt? Okay.
I move that we adjourn at 8:31 p.m. Move into our special council meeting.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried.